Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
29 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excused from the call of the House today are Representatives Gusendorf, Szymanski, and Zaroff. However, note the presence of Representative Szymanski on the floor.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Father Dennis O'Neill, St. Peter the Apostle Catholic Church.
Lord, you have filled our world with beauty, our land with bounteous plenty, and we thank you for it. Yet so often we think there isn't enough to go around. We never get all we want. Lord, guide the minds, the hearts, the tongues, and the hands of your worthy servants, our representatives, that they may deliberate wisely and act rightly to fill the needs of our people rather than the wants of some. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move now to unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 78th legislative day?
There is a correction to the journal for the 78th day. On page 728, add the title to sponsor substitute for House Bill 7 relating to motor vehicles effective date. With this correction, I move and ask unanimous... Oh, excuse me. With this correction, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 78th day and House Supplement Number 33.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 78th day, as corrected, and House Supplement Number 33 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. So the guest for introduction, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have with us a very distinguished gentleman from Anchorage in Gallery B. He looks after the protection of all of our citizens. Would you help me welcome Chief Brian Porter with the Anchorage Police Department?
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we have in Gallery A a gentleman who many of you know from Haines, Mr. Leo Land.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate concurred in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 rules, thus adopting House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 162 finance amended House, making supplemental and special appropriations for capital projects effective date. This has been sent to enrolling. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Senate Joint Resolution number 11 amended, thus adopting House committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 11 HESS, relating to health care delivery to non-native dependents by the United States Public Health Service. The Senate passed the following and they are returned. Committee substitute for House Bill number 218 finance relating to the Board of Marine Pilots effective date and House Bill number 224 effective date added relating to the Board of Nursing effective date, and these bills have been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill number 323 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to residency and residency requirements and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 323 is referred to the State Affairs and Judiciary Committees.
House Bill 324 by the Judiciary Committee, an act making it unlawful to tape record an oral conversation without the consent of all parties to the conversation and providing exceptions.
House Bill 324 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 325 by the Finance Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 325 is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 66 by Lindauer, an act relating to fiscal notes on bills that affect state retirement system and systems and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 66 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 66, Labor and Commerce, for the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Cowdery, Ringstead, Kopanen, Wente, Furness, and Malone. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 66 under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Cowdery, Schultz, Furness, and Larson. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 66 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Mr. Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Martin, Adams, and Bettesworth. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 66 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Labor and Commerce Committee Substitute for House Bill 66 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 66 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Before I ask for an objection to the motion to move from second to third reading, I'm going to, I believe I'm going to need to ask for a new quorum call because I believe we only had 29 people when I initially took the roll. It takes 30 to advance from second to third on the same day. Well, Representative House Prestendis. Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw the advancement motion.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the advancement motion is withdrawn. Take a quorum roll call. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will clerk please take the roll?
35 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 66 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee Substitute for House Bill number 66, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to fiscal notes on bills that affect state retirement systems and providing for an effective date.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think that my light lit up when we took a quorum vote.
Okay, I'll ask the clerk to note the presence of Representative Tischer, also Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. We have before us the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 66 in third reading. Is there debate? Representative Miller.
Speaker, I have a question. I was wondering why either the committee or perhaps the initial sponsor, I'm not sure which, yes, it would have been the initial sponsor, changed the language in the 13th line, which says, before a bill which would have the effect of retirement system, the state is reported from the committee of first referral, instead of saying to the Rules Committee. The reason I have this question, Mr. Speaker, is I've had a long history of supporting and having an interest in public employee retirement bills, and I can tell you from that history that the bill that goes into the Committee of First Referral is usually drastically different after it's gone through one or two additional committees, particularly as after they come out of finance for various good reasons, including sometimes the consolidations of several bills. A very simple little bill will come out of the Committee of First Referral, perhaps out of Health and Social Services. Another simple bill will come out of State Affairs, perhaps. Still another bill will come floating in from someplace else, and all three on the same subject area may be combined in finance. And this doesn't happen just occasionally. This happens probably more often than not. Under those circumstances, this fiscal note from the Committee of First Referral would be totally valueless under the statute unamended. What you would have would be a fiscal note before it goes to rules. In other words, as it leaves the committee of last referral, and you would have actually a document of some value to the legislators before they vote on it, as opposed to a document that has virtually no value at all. The other, I guess it's not so much a question, it's just a statement. I have never seen a fiscal note on the retirement bill that didn't list what the contributing employer's contribution is. It's usually expressed in terms of percent of payroll. And any employer that wants to know what that bill is going to cost him, or I should say the municipality or the school district or whatever, just merely has to multiply their payroll by that percent figure, and they get it, and have been getting it all along, because the fiscal notes we've had always include not only the state contribution amount, but also the percent of payroll, and in total, then the total amount. So I question whether the bill is really doing much. It might be creating more paperwork, because it says all contributing employers. I wonder if that means that a list of all of the municipalities, for instance, and all the school districts that participate in PERS and TRS have to be listed. In other words, it's when it says all contributing employers, does that mean that the fiscal note, instead of just giving a percent of payroll formula, instead has to list Ketchikan so many dollars, Juneau so many dollars, Anchorage so many dollars, Kodiak so many dollars? I'd be curious about what that language means, all contributing employers.
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, the previous representative makes a couple of very interesting and I think very good points, and the legislation is intended to do, this is just merely housekeeping legislation, Mr. Speaker, it is intended to do exactly what the Speaker just mentioned, which was not previously required. I would point out to you that we have consistently put fiscal notes on initially in the first committee. The reason for putting the fiscal note on early is so that the actual cost of the bill, and in this case its actuarial soundness, will be known to the committees as they discuss the bill. In case there's something in there that is a relevant cost, they should know about it. It is merely to make it consistent with our current practice in terms of putting it on the first committee. I certainly agree that when there's a major change, there should be a new fiscal note, and I think that's standard practice with this body at the present time. In terms of the change to all contributing employers as opposed to just the state, it's for the very reason that the representative mentioned. We do need to inform the public as to what it will cost, if there are costs to the public other than to the state. What he says is important, and what he says has been there is not required to be there. The key thing here, though, I think, was changing the Division of Retirement and Benefits to the changing away from the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits, which disappeared in the mid-1970s, apparently, and specifying who's to provide the actuarial information. I think it's important, Mr. Speaker, and the attorney who suggested this from legislative drafting thought it was important, because we need to know, as we have our discussions, what the actuarial impact is. It's one thing to talk about the costs of a bill the next year or two. It's another thing to know that it's going to saddle us or not saddle us with hundreds of millions of dollars of costs or benefits years into the future. So a fiscal note in this case, needs to have an actuarial analysis, and it needs to be available to every committee that's going to consider a bill. This is merely a housekeeping bill. It was suggested by one of the staff attorneys to close a rather minor gap.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I support the intention of the legislation. I think that there is a concern by the minority leader that hasn't been addressed. This, if you look at this bill, there's two sections of state statute which relate to fiscal notes. One of them is the one you have before you in the bill, and the other one is fiscal notes on bills, other than retirement bills. And I think the language from the Committee of First Referral, which is being added here, attempts to make this section consistent with the section in the statutes that comes right before it, which says fiscal notes on other kinds of bills have to come out of the first committee of referral. However, that's only half of it, because the other section, the one that is in the statute but not in this bill, has an additional sentence at the end that this bill does not. And I think perhaps, although the intent is clear, we have not achieved the intent. That sentence, and this is a sentence in the section on fiscal notes on other bills, says, an amendment or a substitute bill proposed by a committee of referral that changes the fiscal impact of a bill shall be explained in a revised fiscal note or statement attached to the bill. That closes the loophole that the minority leader identified, and I guess I would think that some language similar to that should probably be added to Section 036 or added to House Bill 66, because otherwise you'll have the circumstance, I think, that minority leader spoke to, in which the sponsor of the bill indicates is not the intent, is that you may well have the bill go through three committees, have it completely change, and have no fiscal analysis of that change. That's particularly true where we have the administration preparing fiscal notes on these and not the legislature, and if we don't close that loophole, seems to me we may not have adequate information. So I would encourage, we're in third reading now, I guess, but I would encourage the sponsor to consider an amendment that would add language similar to what is in the existing statute.
Representative Lindar?
Could we have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order?
Do you have a proposed amendment on your desk?
No. Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to note to you and to the body that it is my intent as the prime sponsor of this legislation that the requirements of AS 2430.035, which do require a revised fiscal note and actuarial analysis in this case, would apply in the case of a committee change of any substance that would affect the cost or actuarial soundness of the legislation.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 66 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 1 nay.
The Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 66 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on passage of committee substitute Labor and Commerce for House Bill 66 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 267 by Fuller, an act relating to herring stripping and providing for an effective date. The House Special Committee on Fisheries has had House Bill 267 under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Ms. Herman, Chairman, concurred in by Grusendorf, Bussell, McBride, Fuller, and Herman. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 267 under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Ringstad, Chairman, concurred in by Larson, Bussell, Euling, and Ringstad, having no recommendation, Gall, Liska, and Cowdery. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 267 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill number 267 by Fuller, an act relating to herring stripping and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Question. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 267 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 1 nay.
House Bill 267 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on passage of House Bill 267 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to the end of today's calendar. Representative Duncan. Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 66 by Representative Duncan. At the end of today's calendar, and this brings us to unfinished business, is there unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning until Friday evening.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Barnes is excused as requested. One item of unfinished business that I'd like to deal with at this time is House Bill 317, an act relating to state revenue sharing and municipal assistance programs, establishing a program of aid for unincorporated communities and providing for an effective date. Yesterday, that bill was read across. I referred it to the State Affairs and the Finance Committees. I asked the Chairman of Community and Regional Affairs to look over the bill, and it appears the bill should also receive a Community and Regional Affairs referral. So at this time, I'd like to add a Community and Regional Affairs referral to House Bill 317 so that the bill will now go to Community and Regional Affairs, then State Affairs, and then Finance. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A presentation on long-range oil pricing forecast and effect on state revenues will be given today by Mr. Lee Gorsuch. This will take place in the House Finance Room 519 from 11:30 to 1 p.m. The staff is also welcome.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce this morning had scheduled House Bill 25, an act providing preference for all companies purchasing coal. Because of the length of the other bill under consideration, we were unable to take that up. We will reschedule HB 25 for tomorrow morning.
Further, Representative Cowdery.
Yes, there'll be a meeting this afternoon, a conference committee meeting on House Bill 166. In the House Resource Room, 118 at 2:15.
What's the subject of the
That's
of
the subject
bill?
Of the settlement, the oil settlement, $38 million settlement, and we'll be discussing House Bill 166 and committee substitute Senate, or House Bill for 166.
Are there further committee announcements? Representative Euling.
Yes, at 5 p.m. this evening, we're going to have a meeting on the House Committee on State Loans. We're taking up sponsor substitute for 56, which is on the student loan program, and testimony begins at 5 in the Resources Committee room.
Further committee announcements. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a House Democratic Caucus on adjournment.
Are there other announcements? Representative Miller.
Just a reminder, Mr. Speaker, that the Democratic luncheon speaker today will be Mr. Steve Cooper.
There being no further announcements, this brings us to special orders. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have the speakers of the floor to speak on America's Alaska and Canada's Yukon.
You have the floor, Representative Phillips.
As most of you know, we've sent 8 members of this body and 1 member of the other body to Whitehorse, Yukon for legislative exchange between our bodies and the Yukon Legislative Assembly. During those 3 or 4 days that we were over there, I felt that the exchange was well worthwhile, and I think in the future we're going to see the fruits of these exchanges in the near future. We had approximately 8 or 9 workshops with the ministers and deputy ministers of the particular agencies over there. Among the items that we discussed was economic development, renewable resources, transportation, tourism, which I might add under tourism, I think we learned more about our own government and our own tourism division over there than we have over here. Health and medical services and education were among the items that we discussed. I didn't realize how historic, when we spoke before the Legislative Assembly, I didn't realize how historic the moment was, but after we got there on Monday, we addressed the body on Tuesday afternoon, and Monday night they told us this is the second time in the history of the Assembly that anybody has addressed that particular body. The first time was last summer, when Princess Anne had addressed that particular body, and it was indeed a historical occasion. Mr. Speaker, you will, and the President of the Senate will receive a report from our the 9 members, and any member desiring a copy will get one upon request, or we can drop it off in the mailbox. Tomorrow at 11:30, we will meet with the governor and let him know what we had found out on our trip to Yukon, and more in particular, the White Pass Yukon Railroad situation. And then hopefully at 12 noon tomorrow, we'll meet with our own press to let them know what transpired over there between our legislature and their legislature. And all in all, I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, and this body for its cooperation in arranging for this exchange, and hopefully next year we can be the hosts for the Yukon Legislative Assembly to come over here and continue this practice in the near future. Again, Mr. Speaker, I want to thank you.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on permanent fund.
You have the floor, Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I'd like to reiterate or re-announce the presentation that's going to be made by Lee Gorsuch today at 11:30 in the finance room. I think it's important to note that the Institute of Social and Economic Research has done an extensive research project on future revenues for the state of Alaska. I think it's important that each member, if they have the time, attend the briefing, because it's going to bring out, I think, the rude awakening which all of us have been looking at for some time, and that is what the future of the state of Alaska looks like with regard to revenues, and if we're going to be able to support and sustain the state operations in 1995 and year 2000 at our current decline of revenues and the, under the current condition the state is in with regard to revenues. I think that it's significant, and I would hope that everybody does attend. Mr. Speaker, with regard to the Permanent Fund Dividend Program, I also would like to thank you personally for releasing the poll, which was apparently conducted in March, and that poll clearly indicated that the people of Alaska, with a majority of 65% of the residents, favor alternative uses of the Permanent Fund earnings other than the dividend cash payments. I found during the recent Easter break that this is also shared by many of my constituents. While many of my constituents have felt that they use the $1,000 checks and payments wisely and they did benefit from it, they feel that there are other alternatives that we must look at. I think that the poll that was released by your office clearly indicates that the public at large wants to seek alternatives to the dividend program, which are going to best support the long-range goals of the state of Alaska. I think that the poll, which was developed, clearly indicates again, Mr. Speaker, that cash dividends may be the most preferred single option right now, because that's what they've received. But when you look at the majority of Alaskans who believe that the long-term operating costs of the state need to be looked at, that the schools that we are constructing today need to be maintained, and the roads that we're going to be constructing today need to be maintained, that these long-range options need to be investigated and certainly looked at before we continue to go down the disastrous road of cash giveaway plans. It's my hope that each member will also, because of the action coming before the Finance Committee this week, to look at permanent fund dividend program legislation, and particularly the bill which I've introduced. I would hope that this body gives serious consideration to it, because we need to send a clear message to the administration and to the public at large that we do have other options that we need to investigate at this time other than making the dividend payment. I have a copy of the poll here, and I'm sure that other members who would like to have a copy of it can receive it today. And again, would urge that they closely scrutinize it. I think it's significant to note that in 1995, or year 2000, that $1 billion-plus gap in revenue resource will exist if we don't take action today to head it off. Mr. Speaker, I would also like to have the privilege of the floor to speak on Neighborhood Watch, if you wouldn't mind.
You have the floor, Representative Szymanski.
Shifting maybe to a little lighter side than the serious tone of the Permanent Fund Dividend Program, I'd like to bring out to all of you that vividly it came to my attention today that the Neighborhood Watch Program does indeed work. During the weekend, Senator Rohde and I, who share an apartment here in Juneau, were informed that burglars moved upon our premises, and one of our neighbors, a Crime Stopper herself, moved in fast and furiously in her bathrobe and slippers to deter the criminals from further hauling away our prized possessions and our wealth. Representative Barnes, moving fast on her feet, stopped four juveniles who were moving about the premises. I think it's really interesting to note that the Neighborhood Watch Program did work in that case, because she knew that we were out of town for the weekend during the Easter break. She heard footsteps in our apartment and immediately called the authorities. I'm happy to note that the burglars were later captured by the law enforcement agency, and I just want, as a personal note, to thank the representative.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the representative if they saved the pizza.
Further special orders? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, April the 6th, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.